Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. Yeah, you can get us at RadioMD.com on iHeart and a lot of places every Tuesday at 7 a.m. And today's no exception. We have a special and a great guest for you. In fact, this is one of my favorite guests of all time. He's been on several prior radio shows because he's got great books. His first is the book I remember most, Dr. Barnard's Program for Reversing Diabetes. It really works. He's also written Brain, that is, The Power Foods for the Brain, 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart, and this book, which I think is actually a wonderful, wonderful book, The Cheese Trap, because a lot of us talk about how foods with saturated fat, that is red meat, egg yolks, and cheese, are not healthy for you, but he puts it really well. It's The Cheese Trap, how breaking a surprising addiction will help you lose weight, gain energy, and get healthy, by Neil D. Barnard. He's MD FACC. The FACC means he's a fellow of the American College of Cardiology. No small achievement. He's also president and founder of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C. His research published in Scientific American. And although you think that's a great journal, even better is the American Journal of Cardiology and other major journals as well. He's published 70 clinical research studies, as well as 17 books. You're a busy guy. Tell me why you decided to write The Cheese Trap, Neil.
Well, thank you for asking that, Michael. We were doing a study for NIH a number of years ago on diabetes, and we were using totally plant-based diets, vegan diets, and people did great. Their cholesterol fell, their blood pressure fell, they lost weight, and their blood sugars came down to the point where you could see the diabetes just improving week by week by week. However, I found that a number of the participants would say, I'm doing so great, but the one food that I really miss is cheese. Not ice cream, not milk, not yogurt, not meat. It was specifically cheese. And some of them talked about it almost like the way an alcoholic remembers a drink or something like that. I thought, what is this about? So I started looking into it, and we found several really surprising things. Number one, cheese is surprisingly, it has a surprising effect on weight. It tends to cause weight gain. Number two.
Now, is the weight gain effect because of the calories in it or something else?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. The calories is always a huge issue because cheese is 70% fat, and every fat gram has 9 calories. And the average American, believe it or not, the average American consumes 60,000 calories worth of cheese every single year. So 60,000 calories you didn't need last year. 60,000.
Since you and I aren't eating any, somebody's getting 180,000 calories in cheese.
That's right, exactly. So it's that, but I think there's a little bit more to it. When you're consuming something like cheese, it has zero fiber. Now, normally, fiber will tell you to stop eating. Your stomach feels full, and you think, all right, I'm satisfied, but it doesn't have any, so you get every last calorie in it. And fat calories can go to body fat without any conversion, whereas if, let's say, you ate bread, your body has to break it down and make body fat out of it, and that burns off a fair number of the calories in the process. So, yeah, I think it's mostly the calories is just an issue, but it's also these other things. Oh, and one last thing, Michael, if you don't mind my giving you a slightly belabored answer. Water weight is a couple of extra pounds because cheese is surprisingly high in sodium. And if you think of potato chips as high in salt, 2 ounces of potato chips have 330 milligrams of sodium, but 2 ounces of cheddar have about 350, and 2 ounces of Velveeta have 800 milligrams of sodium. It's added in the factory, and it's that means you can have a couple extra pounds of water weight from all the sodium.
So we know, and I know you cover this in the book, so I'm giving you this question, if you will, but we know that salt plus fat are both addictive, and together they're much more addictive. So is that why we're, if you will, you have the cheese trap, how breaking a surprising addiction will help you lose weight, gain energy, and get healthy. So How to Breaking a Surprising Addiction Will Help You Lose Weight, Gain Energy, and Get Healthy is the subtitle of Neil Barnard, B-A-R-N-A-R-D's wonderful book, and it really is a wonderful book. Neil is scientifically accurate and evidence-based, so he is the highest quality of science. That's one of the reasons I love him so much. But he also writes this in a very fun way, so it is the cheese trap. But is the salt and the fat together the reason it's so addictive?
You know, when you think of snack foods that are people's favorites, it's something like onion rings or French fries or potato chips. That salty, fatty combination gets us going. And why would that be? It turns out that if you do special brain scans, you can see the dopamine actually being released in the brain's reward center in response to salt intake. But so yes, the answer is yes. But there's a third thing, not just the salt and the fat, but there are compounds in cheese called casomorphins. And, oh, maybe 20 years ago, this was something that was more controversial. Are they really there? And the answer is they are. The dairy protein.
Let me just interrupt you for a second, Neil. So casomorphine has the term morphine. Morphine is a narcotic that people can get addicted to. The casomorphine, I assume, is a relative of good old morphine.
The caso means it's from the dairy protein casein, C-A-S-E-I-N, which you'll sometimes see on food labels where they are adding dairy protein. Casein is a long string of beads. If you could look at it under a microscope, it looks like a long chain. And each bead is an amino acid, and in your digestive tract, it breaks apart. And there are strings of four or five or six beads, if I can put it that way, amino acids. They pass into your blood, and these are the casomorphins. They get into the cerebral spinal fluid, they go to the brain, and they attach to the very same receptors that morphine or heroin would attach to. And don't get me wrong, I don't mean to say that cheese is as mind-numbing as heroin, but the most potent of the casomorphins have about one-tenth the brain-binding power that pure morphine would have. And interestingly enough, Michael, there's one other thing. Heroin or morphine, these are opiates, and so are the casomorphins. When a person has an opiate as a treatment for pain, like you had surgery, so you get morphine afterwards, one of the biggest side effects that people complain of is constipation. And it's because the narcotic slows down the movement of their intestines. Cheese does exactly the same thing. And a lot of people say, oh, I ate all that cheese, now I'm all constipated. We never thought about the fact that it has a drug in it, basically, or it's a cocktail of drugs. There are several different casomorphins. But we believe that that's part of why people get hooked on cheese.
Now, part of it is cheese comes from milk, so I assume it's got calcium in it.
Yes.
And calcium also is constipating. Is that why? Is that another reason the cheese is constipating? Tell us, you go into this in the book, so I'm going to ask you to tell us this, but tell us how cheese is made.
Well, early in the morning, the dairy gets a delivery of milk, and the milk goes into a big tank that's sort of like a small wading pool. And then bacteria are added, and the bacteria ferment the milk sugar. And that creates the kind of stinkiness of cheese. And then something called rennet, R-E-N-N-E-T, is added. This is an enzyme that curdles it and turns it into a solid. And rennet used to come from calves' stomachs. Now it's mostly a genetically, it's created through genetic engineering at almost all cheese factories. And then you express out the water that's there, and then you have this curdled part that is then pressed or treated in a number of ways. Salt is added to stop the bacterial action from going too far. And what you've done is you've concentrated the fat, concentrated the protein, removed the water, and pulled out most of the lactose sugar, and you're left with this glob of fat and protein that people get hooked on.
So we tweeted in advance that Dr. Barnard was going to be on the show entitled The Cheese Trap, and one of the things that we got is a question in return, and you can always send us questions before we interview people. That's why we tell you the guests in advance, such as we will talk about the blood biopsies on 3/21/17 with Dr. Edwin Posadas. But Dr. Barnard, one of the questions asked was, there are cheese substitutes that are made with soy. Is that healthier, or is it the same or are there same problems with it?
I think it's healthier for a couple of reasons. One is that when you make milk from cow's milk, it has the fat in it is very highly saturated fat. So in other words, cheddar cheese is 70% fat. Most of that fat is saturated. But if you make it from plant sources, the saturated fat content goes down. Or let's say I have a spinach salad, and instead of putting feta on it, I put avocado. An avocado is still fatty, but the saturated fat content is much lower than the feta.
Yeah, this person was asking specifically about soy because they said, you keep saying not to have choline, lecithin, or carnitine, and doesn't the soy have a lot of, quote, soy lecithin in it? That is, they were accusing me of saying that, and I do say that because those change the bacteria inside your gut. And they were wondering whether the soy was just as bad because of the lecithin in it and the choline in cheese.
What a sophisticated audience you have. That's amazing. That's a terrific question. Well, let me be clear about this. There are vegan cheeses out there, but I kind of think of them as sort of like methadone. They're helping you to get off of your addictive substance, but on the other hand, you don't want to make them the central part of your life. So in the cheese trap, what we want to look for is, first of all the reasons why we might want to break free, but then easy, delicious foods that you might use instead. So I already gave my swap feta for avocado instead. But I can, you'll see Drina Burton's wonderful recipes where she will show you a fettuccine Alfredo or even a cheesecake that are made without cheese, or use nutritional yeast to flavor up your cheeseless pizza. There are many tricks you can use, and the benefits will be weight loss, reduced inflammation, which is really key, and the hormonal issues have been quite a surprise. Most dairy cows are pregnant most of the year. A pregnant cow creates a lot of estradiol that gets into the dairy product. And we would think the amounts are just traces, but the studies that we have showing the effects on women's metabolism and also on men's fertility are worrying.
Now, that brings up a very interesting question. One of the questions that we also got was, cheese is a milk product. Is it okay to give to kids like milk is, or should we, and what age should you change? Should you stop eating cheese? Can we give cheese to our kids? They love pizza.
Every kid needs milk. Every kid needs milk from his or her mother. They don't need it from a cow and shouldn't have it from a cow. And Mother Nature always scratches her head whenever people think that somehow a baby needs milk from somebody else, and including some other species. When people imagine that milk is important for children, this is all cultural, culture and commerce. It has nothing to do with science. Kids who don't have milk have every bit of as good a bone integrity as the kids who do have milk. They need calcium and they need a good all-around healthy diet, but they don't need milk at all. And where this is really, really important is when kids have asthma or other respiratory conditions or chronic ear infections, run. Do not walk. Run to a totally vegan diet. Get that kid off all dairy. Not every kid is going to have the asthma cured, but I tell the story of Chad Sarno, who has become a quite a famous vegan chef because he had crippling asthma as a child that went away when he got away from dairy. And you hear this so often. I would really encourage parents not to give milk to their kids.
Now, we're talking with Dr. Neil Barnard, B-A-R-N-A-R-D. I'm spelling it so you can order the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you want to buy it, iBooks, The Cheese Trap, C-H-E-E-S-E, Trap, How Breaking a Surprising Addiction Will Help You Lose Weight, Gain Energy, and Get Healthy. Neil, one of the other questions that was asked is, so if cheese causes inflammation, and I ate it all my life, I'm 27 now, if I stop now, how long will it take me to reverse the problems?
Oh, great question. It really depends a little bit on how long they've been going on and whether there's been damage. Let's say the problem was asthma, as I mentioned earlier. Typically, it gets better very, very quickly, and there's no lasting damage. If a person had rheumatoid arthritis, though, where we think what's going on is the body is reacting to some protein in the blood, which could be the dairy protein, very common, when you get away from it, if you have had no joint damage yet, that's the best case scenario. If your joints have been damaged by the course of the disease, that damage is not going to get undone. Your joints will feel better. You'll have less swelling, less tenderness, less morning stiffness. But whatever damage was done to the joints may have been permanent.
Now, there's cheese in, when you go to, I went to a basketball game last night. This is me personally, Neil. I'm an avid Cavs fan, as you may or may not know from your prior trips to Cleveland. And we should thank Neil Barnard for all the time he spends traveling the whole country promoting health. But at a basketball game or a baseball game or a football game, it's very hard to get things without cheese on it. And when you see people, they're consuming these gobs of cheese. How bad for society is this? If you were going to say, we cut out all cheese, how much would we decrease the disease burden in the United States? How much money would we save?
I think it would be a tremendous difference. Look at what people have done already. They've already thought soda's not good, and sugar consumption and soda consumption has been dropping since 1999. But that didn't stop obesity. Obesity is going up, and it's paralleling the gradual rise of cheese consumption. The point I'm making is that if we break away from this cheese addiction, if we can call it that, I am convinced that we can probably conquer the obesity epidemic to a great degree for many people. Our cholesterol levels are going to go down. I think our prostate cancer risk would go down. There are other contributors to all of these things, but the dairy contribution, particularly cheese, I think is very, very big.
And so going vegan, how easy is it for people to do that? And is that what you really recommend?
That's the best diet, I have to say. And there are many variations on it. You can do it sort of Asian style, Mediterranean style. There are many ways to do it, but it's easy. The way you do it is break it in two steps. You take 7 days and just try out non-animal options for, say, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So breakfast could be pancakes, or it could be veggie sausage, or maybe it's oatmeal, or whatever it is. Try these things out. Try lunch, bean burrito, bean chili, whatever. Try a cheeseless pizza. Over those 7 days, find foods that you really like. Then, over a 21-day period, 3 weeks, do it all vegan all the time, and because it's a short time frame, you can do it. And at the end of that time, you'll feel better, you'll feel stronger and healthier, and your taste will have changed, and from then on, it's smooth sailing.
Now, last question. We're talking about the cheese trap. Last question is, a lot of people go vegetarian but continue to have cheese. We're going to say that's actually not a good choice. It's much better to go vegan than vegetarian. Is that right?
In a large study of Seventh-day Adventists where vegetarian diets are recommended, some of the people go veg, some of them go vegan, and some don't change. The difference in weight between the vegans and the people who are still having dairy products is about 15 pounds. In other words, the people who consume dairy on a regular basis are, on average, about 15 pounds heavier than the people who follow a totally vegan diet. So we encourage people to break out of that cheese trap, and they'll be happy that they're doing it.
We've been talking with Neil Barnard, author of a wonderful book, The Cheese Trap. It's a great way to breaking a cheese addiction for you, The Cheese Trap by Neil Barnard. He's a best-selling author, New York Times bestseller. Is Dr. Barnard's program for reversing diabetes. He's also written Power Foods for the Brain and 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart among his 17 books. He's a fellow of the American College of Cardiology and a physician, evidence-based. This is one book and one set of recipes you'll want to try, The Cheese Trap. We'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new You, the Owner's Manual podcast. But in the meantime, get the cheese trap, read it, ask your library to get it, because other people will want it, share the news about it, and rate us. We love to have you rate us. Tell us what we should do differently. You can email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. We'll tell you about our upcoming guests on Twitter at Dr. Mike Roizen, and on you can follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn, as well as on ShareCare. On ShareCare, we have 241,000 followers. I'd love you to get us to 250,000. You can't do it by yourself, so tell your friends. But especially, get The Cheese Trap. It's a great book. We'll be back next week.